Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 788. The topic is nutrition, and the title is Nutrition Q&A. This is actually a carryover from podcast 780. This is a standalone, so you don't necessarily have to have listened to podcast 780 for this one to make sense. But what we're doing is we're kind of just discussing common questions that I'll get in regards to nutrition programs. And I wanted to go through an example of a couple questions and just kind of talk about the meaning behind the answers, a little bit of the reasoning, things like that. Just an opportunity for all of us to learn about kind of how you can personalize nutrition plans and diets. When you look at a diet, what a diet is, whether it's a diet for fat loss, whether it's a diet for muscle building, for sport performance, it's a structured way of eating, but the structure is based on someone's belief of how to interpret kind of science, the science of how food works. They set up, this person or whoever created your diet, set up rules that they believe will help you kind of take advantage of the science of nutrition. Now, those rules can sometimes be kind of too rigid or too kind of forced, in the sense where there's probably a deeper way for us to more personalize our approach. And unfortunately, not a lot of people know that. So they try to fit these rules that are written based on someone else's beliefs, someone else's lifestyle, someone else's preferences. And then those diets sometimes don't work. And it wasn't necessarily that, you know, there's anything wrong with the person who tried to follow the diet. It's just that it wasn't a diet written specifically for them. It wasn't personalized. So how can we personalize it more? Is by learning more about the actual science of nutrition, how food really actually works. Then we can kind of learn how food would work best for us based on our needs. Now, sometimes we have to make trade-offs. You know, we can't have, you know, they say you can't have your cake and eat it too, but there are things that you get to decide then, okay, which is more important for me? If I have to trade A for B, do I want more of A or do I want more of B? Rather than having someone else make that choice for you in a pre-structured diet. So we've put together, we're still working on putting together kind of like a nutrition education program where it's going to have like kind of not really our method of nutrition, because the whole point of it is for you to find your own method. But it's a nutrition education program, and we're going to have a workbook for it that we would send out to people, and they can work through it and go through kind of like 10 steps to creating the best nutrition plan for themselves. Now, we're in the works of that. We have a couple people participating, which is freaking awesome, so thank you. And what we're wanting to do is exactly kind of along this line of, if instead of following diets, let's invest the time and energy into learning how nutrition works. And then you can write your own diet. In our kind of program, we have 10 steps. It takes you through the 10 steps. It was kind of like thought up of based on like Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace class. Financial Peace University, where you have steps you go through, you learn each step along the way, you complete each step along the way, and at the end, you kind of have financial peace. Our idea here is to have nutritional peace. We want to have confidence in what we're doing nutritionally so we can get exactly what we want. So if you'd like to participate in that program, if you'd like to help us kind of work through creating that, just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through a couple questions. We have three questions here, and let's just go through them, and then we'll talk about the answer. Okay. So these are three questions from kind of a husband and wife who they recently reached out for a nutrition program. So I wrote nutrition programs that they can do. They're each individual, but there also are some similarities since they're going to be a couple and kind of be together and eat together. So this is just some follow-up questions they had. One question was, are most vegetables okay? And what they mean by okay is, we'll talk about this here in a second, is things I typically buy are butternut squash, acorn squash, Swiss chard, kale, celery, leeks, onions, anything goes for vegetables for me. Any veggies to purposely avoid? She's assuming not, but wanted to check anyhow. Well, the diet structure that I have them following is a guided kind of if it fits your macros approach, where they have caloric goals each day. They have amount of protein that they need to have every day, or they should have every day. Then the rest of it is kind of carbs and fats based on whatever they want. If they're highly active, carbs are going to be a better energy source because it digests quickly and it can be used quickly. If they're inactive and they're kind of not doing much, fats are a better choice because they digest slowly and they're less likely to result in a huge caloric surplus or spike whenever you're not going to actually be moving around or using up that surplus and spike. So really, fats and carbs don't need to be predetermined. You can eat whichever you want based on whatever mood you're in that day or whatever like activity level you're in that day. The whole point is that we control our total calories and we control our protein. So we control our calories because they kind of determine the direction of a diet. If I'm eating too few of calories compared to my daily needs, I will lose weight. If I'm eating too many calories compared to my daily needs, I will gain weight. If I'm eating about the right amount of calories, then I'll stay the same. And then it kind of depends on my activity level, if I'm lifting weights, if what my quality of food is, whether I would be staying the same and improving body composition or staying the same and actually looking the same. So we want to control calories first. Protein is awesome because it does a lot of work in our body. It repairs structures. It builds new structures. It does a lot of things like regulating body temperature, regulating pH in the blood, a whole bunch of things. And since protein is so busy in our body, that if we ensure a significant portion of the calories is coming from protein, then we can better control the surplus of calories that we would have from energy nutrients such as protein and carbs to better control whether we're going to gain fat from any kind of surplus from those calories. So you think about it, if protein has so many uses of our body, if I have a little bit of a surplus there, it's not bad. Our body's going to use that up. If we have a surplus of carbohydrates and we don't really have the physical activity that you know, requires that amount, then some of that's going to get wasted away, kind of go to the bathroom. Some of it's going to be stored as body fat. So it's better to have the excess, if we're going to have excess, be in protein, not in carbs and fats. So the answer, are most vegetables valid? Are most vegetables okay? Sure. Yeah. As long as they're accounted for in calories, eat up whatever you want. They're basically going to be forms of carbohydrate. So they're going to have differing amounts of fiber and some other odds and ends in there. But it's just going to be carbohydrates. So butternut squash is carbohydrates, acorn squash, carbohydrates, Swiss chard, kale, celery, leeks, onions, carbs. Now, is there any reason why we have to shy away from carbohydrates? No. So we've talked about this in length in past podcasts, that the only reason why people think they gain weight when they eat carbohydrates is due to water retention. When you eat carbohydrates plus sodium, your body will store water in your muscles in the form of glycogen. It takes like molecules of sodium, molecules of carbohydrates, and molecules of water and pushes them, like builds them together and creates a thing called glycogen. It's energy stored in the muscle, directly in the muscle. That's all it is. So when somebody has been eating an insufficient, like low amount of carbohydrates and or low amount of sodium, and then they increase their carbohydrates and or sodium, they will increase their water retention. So they'll say, oh man, every time I eat carbohydrates, I always gain a couple pounds. It's water. It's not fat. Now, when you understand the science of this, and then people still argue that carbohydrates make them fat, even though they're in a caloric deficit, this is it's a sign of ignorance. And it's hard to accept from somebody like myself, is that you will have it explained to you, and yet you will still say that. So please don't say that anymore. Okay, carbs do not make you fat. Overeating any food whatsoever makes you fat. And just because the number went up on the scale does not mean you gained fat. It is water weight if it's related to a weight increase related to carbohydrates. So really, any vegetable on a diet is totally fine as long as the calories are accounted for. So you can't just add a bunch of vegetables and not count for them. you must count for them. So you got to measure them. You got to find out, you know, how many calories are in there, and you record that. So that way you're not accidentally overeating. So I remember I had a client one time. I said, you know, they could have some vegetables. They didn't think to track them because what the hell? It's only vegetables. What does it matter? There can't be that many calories. They were eating like a cup of lima beans like 3 or 4 times a day, which is a significant amount of calories. And I kind of like picked on them. I'm like, first of all, who the hell voluntarily eats lima beans? They're gross. And who's going to eat a freaking cup multiple times a day? That's insane. You're weird. But that was an example of somebody who just assumed vegetables were quote unquote good for you. Therefore, they didn't have to track them because why would you have to track things that are good for you? And they weren't getting the progress they wanted on their diet because it added up to a lot of calories that they weren't accounting for. So you must account for those calories. The next question we had is, canned salmon or tuna, okay. What about mayonnaise? Ours is the fancy avocado oil kind. So that would be avocado oil made mayonnaise. And are canned meats okay? Yeah, again, with the mayonnaise or any kind of dressings, as long as the calories are accounted for, you can fit them into your diet totally fine. You just have to make sure that they're actually recorded. And again, it's because if you don't record things like that, it can add up to significant calories. One of the worst things about salads is the dressing that people put on them. So I've watched people gain weight when they were eating like a salad every day for lunch because they had a damn bottle of ranch dressing every time they had a salad. So you must account for the calories of the salad or the dressing or the sandwich or whatever it is, but you must account for those calories. Whether a meat is canned or not doesn't make that big of a difference. It likely will be higher in sodium. So if anybody has kind of like blood pressure related issues, they're going to want to try to pick more fresh meats than canned meats. And especially any meats that were packaged with like a kind of a slime feel to them. If there's a slime feel, that's most likely like a nitrate, like sodium kind of mixture to preserve the meat. So you're going to want to wash that off. But in general, if you have sodium concerns, fresh meats are going to be better. They do have canned meats now packaged in water versus packaged in oil. Sometimes that can be a reduction of sodium. It's not automatic, so you got to look at the label and read the label. But in general, canned meats are going to be totally okay. They're great for not requiring refrigeration. They're kind of quick and easy. You can pop them and like eat them. So just whatever feels easier for you to make sure you get your meals in. There's no need to kind of specify one versus the other. Okay. Now, last thing we have here is our calorie count for the day, net of exercise, meaning I had breakfast this morning and went for a 2-hour walk. The app told me I can have more calories remaining because I burned that many calories off. Now, the diet that I like to do for people is to not count like replacement calories. Meaning if you ate, say you're supposed to eat 2,000 calories, you go and exercise, say 200 calories worth of exercise. Do not eat those 200 calories back. The reason why is there is a lot of research and science I'm going to be skipping kind of through the details of, but I want to get the point across, is anything we do on a day-to-day consistent basis, our body learns to adapt to, and it tries to create like a homeostasis with that. Meaning that if I'm constantly under my calories, my body's going to try to find a way to burn less calories. It's going to try to slow down the speed of activities or just shut certain activities off if it doesn't deem them to be essential. If we think of this, the reason why is if we are constantly, day after day, consuming less calories than we need, the body would be picking away at body fat to replace those calories. And the body doesn't trust you. It has no clue that you're going to like actually stop that deficit at some point. So for example, it just registers, man, there is a deficit. If it keeps going like this, I'm going to run out of body fat and I'm going to die. So I'm going to go ahead and adjust and try not to have to run out of this. Meanwhile, we're going, hey, don't worry about that. Like, you know, in 2 weeks when I lose 10 pounds, you know, I'll go ahead and put the calories back in. Well, the body doesn't know that, and we can't talk to our body that way. It isn't listening. So it would be awesome if it just kept going at its normal speed, and then whenever we felt lean enough, we would replace the deficit and get rid of it. The body, unfortunately, doesn't do that. We can't communicate in that way. So the second we start creating a deficit, the second we start creating a surplus, the body starts trying to adapt to it. Well, one of the ways to slow the body's adaptation is to create variety. Meaning, if I'm in a deficit to lose fat, if one day I'm in, like, say, a 100 calorie deficit, the next day I'm in a 300 calorie deficit, the next day I'm in a 200, maybe the next day I'm back to a 100, maybe the next day I'm back to a 300. The more I vary that deficit, the less my body can adapt to it because it doesn't know what to adapt to. So it tends to, the second it would start to like make changes to the 300 calorie deficit, all of a sudden we do a 100 calorie deficit and it goes, oh, okay, I guess I don't need to make any more changes. And then we shock it with another 300 calorie day and it goes, oh shit, I guess I gotta make changes. So the more variety we put in, the less speed in which the body can create homeostasis and lessen the effects of the deficit that we want, which is fat loss. So the more variety we have, but still in a deficit, if that's our goal, the better. The more variety we have, but still in a surplus, if that's our goal, the better. Just think that the more variety you have, the less the body can adapt to it because there's no known thing to adapt to. Well, if we're eating specific calories per day, that makes it easy for us because we can create specific meals, we can create consistent habits, we can be consistent day to day in our behaviors and what we want to control. However, we know that if we're consistent every day, the body can adapt to it faster. Well, if we allow exercise to be the variance, that solves the problem. We can be consistent in our behaviors, what I eat, when I eat, you know, what all those things, the details of our nutrition. We don't have to create 14 different diets. We can have one diet that fits our lifestyle and works well. Some days we lift weights. Some days we do cardio only. Some days we do nothing. That, the activity change, is what creates the variety that like prevents the body from adapting. So by not refeeding, by not filling in the calories of your activity, it's actually going to help you prevent your body from adapting. Now, what happens if you're trying to gain size? You would be eating in a surplus. Your goal, though, what you have to be careful of is to make sure your surplus is above your caloric usage and activity. If you only give yourself 100 calorie surplus, but you burn 300 calories in a workout, you're actually in a 200 calorie deficit. You will not gain size. So if your goal is to gain size, you need to out-eat the deficit of exercise. This can be something you do every day, where, okay, every day I exercise, I have my base diet, plus I add 500 calories. That's okay, that would work totally fine. But it just has to be accounted for. You have to account for the caloric usage of the exercise to make sure that you're not accidentally sitting still or in a deficit if your goal is to actually gain size. So these are some questions. These are some thoughts, some things we want to think through when we're trying to create diets specific to us. So does it matter what vegetables we eat? Not really, as long as you account for them. So if a diet is telling you you have to have, you know, green, you have to have red, you have to have yellow, and you're like, oh my God, I'm buying so many damn vegetables, these things are expensive and half of them are going bad by the time I eat them. Don't worry about that. Don't do any of that shit. You don't have to eat the rainbow, okay? So just eat the vegetables that you're comfortable eating. Make sure they're accounted for and you'll be okay. Now, what about canned salmon and tuna? I keep kind of trying to combine those words, which is why I'm saying suman, which is not even a word. But canned meats, we'll go with that. Totally fine. Like I said, just watch sodium. What about dressings and things like that? Totally fine. Just make sure they're accounted for calorie-wise. So really, you can have a lot of what you want assuming you're controlling the bigger picture things. The small picture stuff doesn't matter much. People get way too caught up in the small picture details whenever it's the big picture details that are actually making the bigger difference. So hopefully this was something that was kind of interesting to talk through and kind of listen to. And if anybody else has questions, please send them in. I think these are fun ways for us to talk through the concepts of nutrition, fun ways for us to learn the nuances of how to adjust things for our personal needs. So if you have your own questions, email them to us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. I'll include them in a podcast and we'll make sure we answer them for you. I think it's just a fun way for us to get exactly our needs addressed. Everybody else can learn from it by best talking about why we're answering questions the way we are. So thank you for listening. I hope this was helpful. Again, if you want to participate in that nutrition education program, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you want to send in questions to get your own questions answered, again, send those in at brutalirongym@gmail.com. And you can always check out our website, www.brutalirongym.com, for other services. So, if you like the podcast, please, please, please share it. The more people we share it with, the more the people we can help and influence and help live better lives. So, I really appreciate it to people who share the podcast. It means a lot. Thank you. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on our social media channels of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.